This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You can also tweet us at Mike Golic Jr. and at Chris Canty 99. Tim Kirchen, our ESPN MLB insider, going to stop by in a half hour here. And you know what, Chris? For that moment, I'm going to set aside my disagreement with when Major League Baseball is actually doing its Hall of Fame induction, because there is nothing better than Tim Kirchen's joy for baseball. And I feel like a day where Derek Jeter's getting inducted, where we've got so much good things to talk about, I'm not going to bog him down with the timing of things.
Yeah, we want to stay positive vibes only, right? It's such a historic day. You're talking about the induction of another Hall of Fame class. Like, let's keep it on the positive side with Tim. I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about Derek Jeter and the other guys going in. So I'm looking forward to talking to him in a few minutes.
It's going to be great to talk to Tim. Honestly, it's going to be great for all of us, because as we sit here on the day before the day of the start of the NFL's 2021 season, we're near the end of it right now. But thankfully, the folks at 538 saw fit to help us out, because, Chris, they went ahead and told us with their advanced numbers and all the ways they do these calculations that surprise, surprise, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are favored to meet again in the Super Bowl in the 2021 season. Water is wet, the sun rose this morning, and those are probably still the two best teams in pro football. Like, Chris, I look out here, and I know it can sound lame when we look and say, well, that's obviously the answer here, but just look out here. Is there anyone that jumps to mind for you as someone that can bust up that party? Like, if we had to go either, neither, or both, Tampa Bay and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make it back into the Super Bowl, how are you going to go ahead and grade that one?
I'm going to roll with either, and I'm going to pick the Tampa Bay Bucks to get back. I mean, it's not like I'm sitting here doubting the greatness of one Pat Mahomes and what that Kansas City Chiefs team has done this offseason with retooling that offensive line. I just feel like they have a tougher road to go when it comes to the landscape of their conference. I feel like there's more teams that are going to be on par in terms of overall talent base that are in position to contend, as opposed to where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at, where you're talking about really, you know, two or three teams that can kind of be at that level. And really, not, I just don't see the Packers or the Rams being those teams that are quite capable of challenging Tampa to the degree that we're going to see with Kansas City and some of their competition in the AFC. So I would look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being able to get back to Super Bowl, being able to play in SoFi Stadium for Super Bowl 46, Super Bowl 56, as opposed to the Kansas City Chiefs being able to make it back to the big game.
I feel like this is what got me in trouble in the Super Bowl, Chris, is I just get blinded by the Patrick Mahomes of all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, all right, they had a puncher's chance for a while just because this guy was so great behind a nothing offensive line. Now, the thing that worries me that I will say is, we've talked so much about they went out and got him a new offensive line. When that group was healthy last year, you had the best right tackle in football and one of the best tackles in football in Mitch Schwartz. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, Eric Fisher was a former number one overall pick that you gave a second contract to. Like, this was one of the better tackle tandems in pro football. So you're replacing that with a guy in Orlando Brown that's moving a left tackle for the first time. And then on the other side, Lucas Niang, who hasn't played meaningful football in this league yet. So as much as I'm excited for that group's growth, there's still going to be some, I think, a learning curve at that spot for a couple of those guys. And again, because of Mahomes, because him and Tyreek Hill are the most unique matchup or unique combination, I should say, in the NFL of quarterback and receiver, I feel like I got to rock with them on that one, because I don't know if I'm ready to trust the Chargers to make that next step in the division, right? Like, you look at that group, and yeah, the Broncos defensively are going to be something to hang with there, but Teddy Bridgewater and that offense got to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
And as excited as we were about Justin Herbert's rookie season and what he did, every year it's an exercise of me trying not to get my hopes up about a team in the Chargers that, no matter who's under center, finds their way into being too banged up to go out there and do anything.
Yeah, no matter who their head coach is either, right? It's just one of those teams that never lives up to the hype or the expectations that they have coming into the season based on the talent that's on the roster. But I'm with you. I understand the moving parts with Kansas City, and I think there are legitimate concerns, because not having that continuity along the offensive line, there is going to be a learning curve that comes along with that, trying to figure out what that's going to be about and how that group is going to gel as the season unfolds. Also, if you put stock in strength of schedule, when you're looking at the Bucs and the Chiefs have the 11th toughest schedule versus the Buccaneers, who have the 29th toughest schedule. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where the Bucs returning all of those starters and then having Tom Brady to kind of guard against any complacency that might set in after you won the Super Bowl, I would hedge my bet on leaning toward the Tampa Bay Buccaneers returning to the Super Bowl. I don't think that we're going to have a repeat of Super Bowl 55. I just don't see that happening. I think somebody in the AFC creeps up to get Kansas City.
And I know you and I have talked about that. We look at the Bills on my side. You mentioned the Cleveland Browns as a team that could be capable of doing that. What about on the NFC side? If you had to pick a team you thought was going to knock off Tampa Bay looking out here, we know Green Bay, back-to-back NFC championships, New Orleans turning over a fair amount, and then the entire NFC West just sitting there staring like a pack of junkyard dogs waiting to see who gets out of that one to go face everyone.
I just feel like the NFC West is going to cannibalize each other. Like those guys in that division, even though I feel like the Rams are the class of that division, it's going to be tough. And then when you start looking at the NFC South, I just don't quite trust the New Orleans Saints with Jameis Winston, although I do think we're going to get the best of what Jameis has to offer under Sean Payton. And with the Green Bay Packers, there's just been too much noise this offseason around what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers and this kind of half-hearted commitment to actually come back to the team for this fall when he seemingly had no choice. I just that doesn't feel like that's a championship formula. So I just think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, have to be viewed as the front runner in the NFC by default, just because I don't think that there are other teams in the conference that are going to be able to play at that level.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Again, 538 has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs as their favorite to get back to the Super Bowl. But, Chris, you mentioned the Green Bay Packers and all that distraction here. I got quotes from Aaron Rodgers that they just sent us around here at ESPN. They pump out these emails, show us the quotes from practice today. And Aaron Rodgers was asked about the pressure, and he goes, there's definitely a lot of unknowns, but I think we don't feel pressure. I'm speaking personally. I can't speak for everybody, but I feel that I get better with the energy in the locker room. It's not pressure. It's focus. I think it's the right perspective and the right type of focus. Davante Adams says this is the hungriest team he's ever been around. So does any of that sway you on this one? Because Lord knows it doesn't change any of how I feel. This sounds like best shape of your life training camp stuff here, word for word.
Yeah, it does, right? It's like Aaron Rodgers is saying, I got this chip on my shoulder. I got something to prove to everybody in the organization that was ready to move on from me. And Davante Adams not being able to get that contract extension done, not committing to the organization past this upcoming season. Like, it feels like they're giving that kind of energy to this whole thing. Like, we've got something to prove. But, I mean, it feels like both of those guys have one foot out the door as well. And that's not a position that you want your franchise to be in if you're trying to go on a title run, having your two best players not being fully committed to the organization long term. So I just – we'll see what happens with the Green Bay Packers, but to me, I feel like this is lining up for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to run through the NFC yet again and get back to the big game.
Yeah, man, the Green Bay Packers are always going to be intriguing to me because I get all those outside of football reasons, but then I keep looking back at the team that's on paper, and we know to start the season, they're not going to have David Bakhtiari, their all-everything left tackle. Elgton Jenkins kicks out there, for my money, the ultimate utility piece
and
around
a really
the NFL.
Good, a really good football player, too, by the way. Really good football player.
Outstanding dude. But the one that's going to be most interesting to me is, for all of the wailing that we did around the draft, Chris, Eric Stokes, their pick out of Georgia here. Not in the starting lineup. Kevin King still going to be the starter there. But as the season goes along, Jair Alexander's a star. We know that. Kevin King was that spot where last year in the postseason had a couple of those ugly moments. That draft pick of Eric Stokes felt like a declaration of war in the first round when Aaron Rodgers had been crying out for offensive weapons. The irony might be that as we go along this season, how Eric Stokes develops could be the difference for this team, right? Like how they patch those holes defensively, because that offense should be great again. Like, I don't see any reason why it should go backwards.
No, the offense should be good. I don't think there's any questions about it when Aaron Rodgers is there, but it's just a matter of, are they going to be able to have the defense to complement it? Is their defense going to get better in terms of being able to win field position, being able to create turnovers so that Aaron Rodgers and that offense can continue to do what they do at a high level? I'm not sold on Green Bay's defense. I don't know how you could be at this point. They have a lot of show and prove. Even though they were a top 10 group from a year ago, they still leave a lot to be desired, especially in the critical moments. And we saw that in the NFC Championship game, the way Tom Brady lit those guys up in the first half. I mean, you kind of saw which way that game was going early on. So that defense, especially the back end of that defense, outside of Jair Alexander. They got a lot of you know, improvement to do in order to be at that same level that we think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is. So that's the thing that I'm going to be watching for. I don't think that we're going to see that from this group at this point this season. But, you know, listen, we'll see what happens once they kick the ball off tomorrow night.
We will. Thank God. Thank God we will see what happens very soon with that group. So, again, 538 has the Bucs and the Chiefs as the favorite to head back to the Super Bowl. Chris thinks the Bucs have the better shot. I'm going to rock with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs at ChrisCanty99, at Mike Golic Jr. on Twitter if you want to get at us. But coming up next, a face of one franchise spoke out on behalf of one of his teammates. We'll tell you if we think it makes a difference here next. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're brought to you by Wrangler. Introducing ATG by Wrangler, outdoor apparel that gets you there. It doesn't compromise, conform, or call it quits. Shop Wrangler.com. And Chris, I'm sitting here. We're going to talk to our friend Tim Kirkjian in about 10 minutes here. Baseball Hall of Fame doing their induction stuff today. We've seen some speeches. We'll get his takeaway from those. I did see this on Twitter, though, and you can get us at Mike Golic Jr., at ChrisCanty99. AC Coacher tweets out, what pretends to be a scam but absolutely is a, pretends not to be a scam but absolutely is a scam? The first thing that came to mind for me is tuxedos. I don't know where you fall on the tux scale of things, but they just gave suits a fancy name to try and mess with all of us and get us to spend more money around prom, and then that one suit that you're supposed to get and fit into for the rest of your adult life, it's all a scam. I don't understand it. I don't buy into it. I won't support it.
Oh, 1,000%, man. And speaking as somebody that's doing wedding planning and getting ready for my big day, just knowing what I'm going to have to shell out with the tuxedo for me and my groomsmen, like, it is going to be crazy, man. So I'm absolutely on board with that one. Another one that kind of comes to my mind when you hear about that is insurance. Like, it's just like one of those, goes back to that Chris Rock skit about, like, insurance is in case something happens. If something don't happen, shouldn't I get my money back? That's kind of how I feel about insurance right now. Like, it's just like, as somebody that has to pay all of these different insurances, being a grown-up, like, it's just one of those things that feels like it's a bit of a racket.
You do look around at some point. Trip insurance is always the one that gets me. Like, just in case my flight gets canceled or this, that, and the other. Like, you want me to hedge my – you're asking me to bet against myself on this one. Bet the do not pass line on my happiness in this trip. Get out of here with that.
Exactly.
No chance.
I'm 1,000% with you on that.
My God. At Mike Golic Jr., at ChrisCanty99. No scam here would be the money you're putting down on T.J. Watt, but the star pass rusher for the Pittsburgh Steelers still remains unsigned as of this point in time, but practice was a full participant yesterday, and as his quarterback out here riding for him. Here's Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers QB, on the situation surrounding his teammate T.J. Watt.
I think T.J. should get whatever the heck he wants. He's arguably the best football player in the game right now, not just on defense, just in general. You know, I've been through a few negotiations here with contracts. You know, one of the reasons I took less money was for guys like him to get paid, and he needs to get paid. He deserves every penny that he wants and asks for. And so, you know, TJ Watt is that guy that should get whatever he wants.
Guys like Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, just out here sacrificing for the greater good, Chris. That's the cross they bear. It's what they do.
Mike, I'm glad you picked up on it because I thought the exact same thing when I read the quote from Big Ben. It's sitting there talking about T.J. Watt and his contract situation, and then you want to try to assert that you took less money because you want T.J. Watt and guys like him to get paid. Like, enough with the nonsense, Big Ben. You took less money because that was the only way that you were going to remain the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But that aside, when it comes to T.J. Watt's situation, you got to believe that the eyes and ears of the locker room are paying attention to what's going on and how GM Kevin Colbert treats T.J. Watt, because this is a guy that's done all the right things, that's said all the right things, that's gone out and produced and been a high-character guy, not only for the guys, not only in that building, but also out in the community. So it feels like this is one of those guys that you got to pay. You also consider the fact that he does play a premium position, and he did lead the NFL in sacks last year. It's just one of those things that makes you, as a player, question why the deal hadn't already gotten done.
Yeah, and listen, we've seen Pittsburgh re-sign plenty of guys, but they got you know, rules or ideals that they abide by in that organization, that front office, about how much guaranteed money they're going to give out to guys here, the way they structure certain things, doing deals during the season. But at some point, you got to look around and go, all right, so we had the entire Le'Veon Bell saga that happened there because they were playing the franchise tag game with a guy that was one of the better players in the league at the time. Antonio Brown, certainly there were a lot of different things about that situation there that won't make it the same. But Juju Smith-Schuster almost walked this offseason, comes back on more of a one-year prove-it deal than what we'd seen here. So at some point, you got to be looking around in the modern version of that locker room going, all right, I mean, while I don't think Ben really had much of a say in taking less money or being able to come back, there is, in theory, that money there that you saved on the quarterback. And so if we don't start paying it out to someone, you got to ask questions about who is ever going to get that money if TJ's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, you're sending a message either way if you're the organization, right? If you pay a guy, if you don't pay a guy. But when it comes to TJ Watt, this is somebody, by all accounts, that has represented the organization well. And this is a player that Mike Tomlin has been vocal about wanting to keep around long term, talking about his character and wanting to do business with folks that are like TJ Watt. Like, it just seems like this is something that should get done. To drag it out to the 11th hour on the eve of the regular season kicking off, to me, it just seems like it's completely unnecessary to force TJ Watt into the position where he's got to hold in order to leverage the team to get his money. To me, it just sends the wrong message, especially when you consider how productive a player he's been.
And so we know, again, full participant in practice was TJ Watt, even the team drills. And so, got to imagine that's a decent sign of things to come here. TJ Watt, for all he's done so far, I'd imagine would only be going out there if he believes this is going to get done at the umpteenth hour.
Oh, yeah. I mean, otherwise, what was the point of sitting out all of those drills throughout training camp, right? Like, what was the point of the hold in? Like, it just seems like it would make sense. Like, if you're going to actually risk injury by going out there and being a full participant in practice to do the team drills, to absorb that type of risk, it just seems like he's got an understanding that they're at the 2-yard line as far as the negotiations are going, and that he has a pretty good inkling that this thing is going to get done before they kick off on Sunday.
I'm a one-time insider, so I don't know anything specific about this situation, but it just seems like a spot where something is probably going to get done soon. Again, I don't have sources on this one. It's not something we're reporting out here or anything like that, so don't worry about that. By the way, speaking of which, and news breaking here, we will talk to Harrison Smith, newly paid safety for the Minnesota Vikings, tomorrow on ESPN Radio.
Fresh cash for Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
Whole lot of fresh cash.
It's amazing. He owes me some money from college, too, so this is a great time to kind of get back on track with all of this here and make sure we got everything handled here financially with Harrison.
There you go. We got to get the books right. Make sure that that bottom line is what it says it should be for your bank account.
Speaking of the bottom line, though, coming up next, very few people did as well in their career as Derek Jeter. We'll talk to Tim Kirchner about his Hall of Fame speech and legacy, the status of the current Yankees, and who the hell is going to come out of the NL West this year. We'll do that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The beginning of the season, oh man, I want to be in that moment. It's just one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Marty Smith, and I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Dallas Cowboys are ready.
This is Matthew Berry. The Syracuse Orange are ready.
This is Alan Hahn. I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and continues all day on ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Tune into an NL battle tonight. The Cardinals host the Dodgers. Coverage begins here at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Canty and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty, and you hear it singing out there. I mean, Chris, been hanging out with the folks, 98.7 ESPN, Dave Rothenberg, Rick DiPietro in the mornings there. So I'm sure you have seen, heard, and done plenty in the lead-up to this moment for Derek Jeter being enshrined in the Baseball Hall of Fame today.
Absolutely, Mike. And you know I'm a huge Yankees fan, man. Just so to see this moment happen, to see one of the best to ever do it in pinstripes, certainly in my lifetime, to see him go into Cooperstown and be immortalized, I mean, it's a huge moment, and couldn't be happier for Derek Jeter and his family. He's meant so much to that franchise, meant so much to the New York City community. I'm happy to see him be celebrated in this way.
And for more on this Major League Baseball Hall of Fame class, we head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to our ESPN MLB insider, Tim Kirkjian. And again, this year's honorees, Larry Walker and Derek Jeter, Ted Simmons and Marvin Miller, the 2021 class empty. But Timmy, just overall, looking at this Baseball Hall of Fame class, we'll get to Jeter in the second, but from the rest of this group here, what stands out to you about this year's honorees?
Well, everyone deserves to be in. Marvin Miller should have been in years ago. You can't write a history of baseball without him being a central figure for what he did for the Players Association, how he changed the game by forming one of the strongest unions in the history of this country. Larry Walker is a wildly underrated player. He should have been in years ago. You look at 300 average, 400 on base, 500 slugging. Not many guys have that. He reaches two of them easily. MVP, one of the great defensive right fielders I've ever seen, one of the great throwing arms, and a tremendous base runner. And Ted Simmons is one of the greatest hitting catchers of all time. He started his career really young. He played on really good teams for most of his career. He's a vastly underrated player. And all three of those guys belong, and of course, Jeter tops them all, based on his obvious greatness.
Tim, as a Yankees fan, I think back to all of the Derek Jeter play in the ALDS in 01, the leadoff home run in the Subway Series in 2000, the Trot Nixon foul ball when he crashed into the stands. But in your mind, of all of the moments, all of the plays that we've seen from Derek Jeter, which one encapsulates his career best?
Well, I think it's the flip play, and I wrote about that today in about 5,000 words on ESPN.com because it just showed his athletic ability, his agility, but more than anything, his awareness. Not many shortstops would have ended up where he ended up on that play, meaning running from deep shortstop to the foul line on the first base side of the field. And I talked to everyone who was involved in that play, like 10 guys, and no one had ever seen that play happen before or since. So when somebody makes a play that is so remarkable that no one's ever seen it before or since, it just speaks to how great Derek Jeter is. He told me that he wasn't surprised at all that he ended up making that play because he said, I'm prepared for everything. That's how you slow the game down. You prepare. And he said, I did that on every single play I ever took part in. I said, okay, if it's hit to my left, it's hit to my right. What do I do here? How fast are the runners? He anticipated what was going to happen there and made a remarkable athletic play.
Tim Kirkjian joining us on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN MLB insider, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And one of the cooler images of today, I saw Michael Kay tweet this out, the current Yankee squad on the field looking up at the Jumbotron, watching the Hall of Fame induction speech of Derek Jeter. But Timmy, that's about where the good times for the current Yankees end right now. We know they're still on top of the AL wildcard race, but losers of 4 in a row and 8 of their last 10. What's been the issue here, and is this something they can get out of in time to hopefully get ready for the postseason?
Yes, they can get out of this. They've been in worse trouble than this, and somehow, miraculously, they've come from about three different spots where I know I said to myself privately, they're not making the playoffs. And then they won 13 games in a row. So maybe that was a bit of a mirage, but I still really like the offense that they have now. They're so much more athletic defensively with Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo, and both of those guys are going to have to hit and will hit more over the next 3 weeks. Their pitching was spectacularly good in August, and it's gotten off to a not as good a start in September. Now Garrett Cole has a bit of a tweak, which I think he'll be okay. But I still think they're making the playoffs. I still think they're going to be the first wild card team, meaning host a playoff game at home. But that AL race is crazy with the Red Sox, Mariners, A's, and Blue Jays, of course. It's going to be a tremendous run to the finish for the wild card.
Another playoff race that we're keeping a close eye on is the division in the NL West. Tim, who wins that division and why?
I'm going to say the Dodgers. I love the Giants. Every time anyone questions the Giants, they win 3 in a row and hit 5 homers per game. They're a remarkable team. They They swing at strikes and they throw strikes. It's a very simple formula. Not many teams can do it, but they've done it all year. But I'm just going to say the Dodgers pitching, which is so sensational, will just wear everyone down, not just at the into October, but through October. I just think their pitching is that good, especially, of course, if Clayton Kershaw comes back healthy enough to join that rotation in October. But that National League is really good. The Giants can win the World Series. The Brewers can win the World Series with the pitching they have. So even though I have to pick a team, the Dodgers, they'll have a long road to get through the National League and get to the World Series. And then they got their hands full with the American League also.
Well, that road you can see tonight going through the Cardinals. They host the Dodgers. Coverage starts there, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Tim, we always appreciate you giving us some time. Enjoy the home stretch of this regular season. Going to be a lot of fun matchups.
Okay, guys. See you.
Awesome stuff from Tim Kirchner, our ESPN MLB insider. Coming up next, though, when we look out at the NFL, we have seen this year plenty of conversation around the COVID-19 policies going in for this season. We'll show you a group of players that thought they could get over on last year, and I guess in some way actually did. Next, you're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Yeah, I see you, big fella.
Listen,
I
man.
I see you.
it gets moving around here when song pops on, man.
For sure. Shout out to the guys behind the glass doing their thing, too. I like the remix.
They're making it work out here. Oh, man. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's always time for the Twerculator. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline here. I don't know if he did any twerking, but thanks to Tim Kirchin, who just joined us here. Doesn't seem like a big twerk guy here. That feels like it'd be out of pocket for Timmy.
Yeah, I don't think that's on brand for Tim Kirchin, but you never know, man. I can't judge a book by its cover.
No, I will not put Tim Kirchin in a box. No way, no how. He joined us to break down Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame enshrinement today. Keyshawn Johnson, co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, stopped by to talk about, helping me learn how to be a better teammate with Chris Canty, since Keyshawn was the one who did it first between the two of us when you guys were with the Cowboys. And then Tony Gonzalez, the Hall of Fame tight end, stopped by to help us get ready for opening night tomorrow night in the NFL. If you missed any of that, check out the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast that I think is a thing you can download now, but I'm not 100% sure. So go ahead and check it out. It is day two, and we are just still kind of learning where everything is around these parts right now. But there is still one thing that we've got to do around here, official business to end the show, as we are close. We're so close. Tomorrow, when we are back on the air with you, we will have a Thursday night football game, a real live one that counts in the regular season to talk about.
Hello.
Ooh, and it feels good. But in the meantime, let's finish things off and keep that same energy. Because keeping that same energy, this is a pretty cool moment. We were talking baseball before, Chris. Albert Pujols headed back to Busch Stadium in St. Louis for the second time since he left. The 41-year-old who helped them win a couple of championships around there got a 40-second standing ovation when his name was announced prior to his first inning at bat. Him and his longtime teammate Yadier Molina stepped in front of the plate. It was a big moment. And then he promptly took J.A. Happ yard on the fourth pitch for a homer in that game. Pretty cool one there. Albert Pujols talked after the game about being back at a place that meant so much to him.
That's great. You know, it's this moment that you share with your friends and family. I enjoy it, and they enjoy it too. So, listen, not every day I come here to St. Louis and play. You know, I'm glad that I was able to come again this year and be part of this special moment.
And Chris, a really cool one there. I mean, Albert Pujols will always be a word association in St. Louis, and this was well earned.
No doubt about it. And here's the thing. You know, as an athlete, you want to have a home when you get done with your career, and you know that St. Louis is going to be that home for Albert Pujols. So for him to be able to have that moment, and, you know, I guess with Jay Happ on the mound, you had to know it was kind of coming. I mean, it was pretty cool to be able to see him and be celebrated like that out there at Busch Stadium.
And, man, latching on with the Dodgers, I remember it felt so fitting the first game he gets over there and promptly belts, I believe, forget if it was not one but two home runs in that initial outing there. The rich finding a way to make everyone feel richer in Los Angeles. But speaking of money, keep that same energy. The Florida Panthers NHL squad has now offered endorsement deals today to every female college athlete at nearby Florida Atlantic University. We had seen them previously offer a deal to De'Aaron King at the University of Miami, but the Panthers established the FLA athlete program this summer after the state of Florida passed a law to allow college athletes to make NIL money. That with these rules, the deal will pay each athlete some cash along with tickets to Panthers games and other merch in exchange for promoting the Panthers on social media and at in-person events so far this year. So cool to see the ways that this is continuing to show up, Chris.
Yeah, shout out to the Florida State Legislature for actually trying to take in a lead when it comes to NIL and allowing these collegiate student athletes to get paid. I'm excited about it. And the Florida Panthers being proactive and being innovative of sorts, being able to strike that partnership with the female athletes over at FAU. So that's a pretty cool story. Just some folks with some outside of the box thinking in terms of how to market their product. But I'm excited for student athletes to be able to finally make some coin on their athletic talents.
We did also see during the break, and I saw this courtesy of Front Office Sports, Denny's signed four NIL deals with offensive linemen around college football. And Chris, I know it wasn't your side of the ball, but we can all appreciate them going out here and grand slamming this thing for the big boys.
Oh yeah, I ain't even mad at that. And you know it's going to be an all-you-can-eat situation when they show up at any Denny's. So that's got to be the look for those offensive linemen being able to put some food away for the free in college.
Shout out to them for being the official sponsor of a people that have had one too many on a menu I can just point to and say, yes, I want this. I don't need to speak the actual words to you. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. All right, Chris, take a walk with me on this one here. You remember that game where the Panthers, or excuse me, where the Denver Broncos had to go ahead and, because their entire quarterback room was down for the count, start Kendall Hinton, who had played some quarterback in college but had to step up for Denver, going 1-for-9 for 13 yards and two interceptions against the New Orleans Saints. You remember that game, right?
I remember that game. How could I forget it? That was a disaster, and that was an abomination to the football guys. Like, that was a god-awful regular season game.
And that was because we had the four current quarterbacks on that roster, Drew Lock, Brett Rypien, Blake Bortles, and Jeff Driskel at the time. Again, this is before the Teddy Bridgewater acquisition this offseason. They were all ruled ineligible. And, you know, we remember John Elway trying to get that game moved. We now found out why that game was not treated as leniently as maybe some others. This was according to a story here from Sam Farmer of the Los Angeles Times. Part of his story says, John Elway, the Denver Broncos president of football ops, made several frustrated pleas to Goodell to postpone the game until Tuesday when the quarterbacks would be available. The league denied those requests because surveillance video from the Broncos facility showed the quarterbacks had tried to fool the system. They had removed their contact tracing devices and put them in the four corners of the meeting room, then sat to watch film together. That close contact ultimately made them ineligible to play. Like, man, did you really think you were going to get over on that system? Like, you guys were the clever ones that were going to beat this?
Yeah, that's the part that I don't understand. Like, how could you not know that there's surveillance in the meeting room that's going to catch you guys actually doing that with those devices? Like, you act like people aren't watching you around a facility. That part of it doesn't make any sense. And the most alarming thing about it is that's your quarterback room. Those should be the smartest guys that are on the team. So to be the guys that are supposed to be the smart ones to make such a stupid bonehead decision and then put your team in that type of position, like, it's just, it's no wonder that the Denver Broncos had to go out this offseason and make a move at the quarterback spot.
In a sport defined by the phrase, the eye in the sky don't lie, you think they would, if anyone, understand that someone's always watching, grading, and judging what you're doing around that facility. All I know is, we hear every year about the gift that quarterbacks give their offensive lines around Christmas. The gift that that quarterback room got for Kendall Hinton for subbing in that game better have broke the bank for everyone in that roster here. It better have been insane for what they put that dude through.
Mike, what about the gift that that quarterback room should have got that defense? Could you imagine if you're Justin Simmons or A.J. Boye going out there knowing that Kendall Hinton is your quarterback? Come on, man. What are they supposed to do with that?
Man, I tell you what, you're right. I've had some rough games on offense. We're jogging back to the sideline. You got to go past the defense that's bailing you out, and it's awkward. I cannot fathom the levels of discomfort for that quarterback room when they showed up that next week for practice. You better be seen and not heard. But coming up next, if you want to stick around here on ESPN Radio, stay tuned. We talked about it. Dodgers at Cardinals. Roxy Bernstein and Chris Singleton on the call right here. Stick with it.